the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We are living in a time where everybody is desperately looking for affirmation. Everybody is looking for acceptance and wholeness. For example, people will do almost anything to get onto television in order for spectators to applaud them. We even take selfie pictures with our smartphones and post these pictures on social media in order to bring about large amounts of attention and affirmation from others. Or, when we gather together in a large group of people, we make sure to try and talk about our accomplishments in order to shift the conversation and praise to us. More specifically, though, without even realizing it, we actually develop talking points about ourselves, these positive slogans, these phrases, in order to converse with others to share about our identity. Like a strainer, though, we strip away all the bad moments of our past and we elevate that which is good. We only apply the positive aspects of our lives to these talking points while conveniently leaving the things that we are ashamed of out. In the court of popular opinion, we then gather friends that will believe and uphold the version of ourselves that we have created, while keeping those that do not at a distance. Now, we do all of this, my friends, because we have this inborn desire to be liked, to be whole, to feel accepted, to be affirmed by others. Things become a bit more difficult, though, when sin has its way with us, as it always does. That is to say, we all have this sinful nature, this old Adam, that wreaks havoc on us. So we find ourselves doing that which we do not want to do, and doing what seems to be right at the moment, but in reality is sin. As a result, we can make fools of ourselves, and we can damage our reputations, we can damage our relationships, damage these positive talking points about ourselves. Our sin, it actually ends up ruining the affirmation, the support, and the encouragement that we get from our family and friends and community. There's another aspect of this sin as well. The sin, it actually wounds our conscience. Who can forget King David in the Old Testament? He committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, and he had her husband killed as a way of trying to clean up his idolatry. As a result, he actually confesses that this sin made his bones waste away. His sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband, it weighed heavy upon him all day long, driving him to groan. This sin caused him to feel like his strength was being dried up in the sun. His body and his mind felt pressed, from the hand of the Lord pushing down upon him. This is the way that it is with sin. When we break God's law, we not only damage and hurt our neighbor, but we also ruin our own reputation and then wound our conscience. Sin, it is damning. It leaves a trail of destruction in its path. In response to this, we do about everything possible to regain affirmation and acceptance and peace within our conscience when we sin. So we develop ways in which we try to manage our sin and acquire affirmation. There are approximately 6 ways that we try to manage our sin, to keep our affirmation from others, and to free our conscience from this weight of condemnation. They are as follows. First, we deny sin. I did not do anything wrong. There's no sin, nothing to see here. I did not do anything wrong. We deny sin, and this is a way of denying our error in order to put ourselves at peace. Secondly, we blame our sin on others. Oh, the devil, he made me do it. I sin because of my upbringing. Those people over there, they misguided me. It is their fault. We acknowledge the sin, but redirect sin away from ourselves to someone else. Thirdly, we legalize sin. In other words, we create 2 categories of sin, really, really bad sin and then average sin, and then we create 2 categories of sinners and say, well, at least I am not as bad as those drug addicts and those alcoholics and those scum over there. At least I'm not as bad as them. Fourthly, we can attempt to numb our conscience. We run to the bottle and substance abuse in order to suppress a troubled conscience. Let us eat and drink and be merry. Let us drink our troubles away. Life is grand. Fifthly, we can go the way of works righteousness. We do all sorts of good and pious works and good deeds as a way of trying to overcome our sin. We think to ourselves, if we do enough good stuff, then this good stuff can overshadow our sin. Like a payment, we can pay off our bad deeds with good deeds. Sixthly, we can go the way of slander and gossip. If we can badmouth and slander enough people around us and make them look really, really bad, well, then we can keep them beneath us and we can look really good. In other words, if anyone appears to be doing better than us, well, we set out to ruin their reputation and destroy them with our words. By this, we make everybody around us look really, really bad while we can look like we are on the top, that we are on the top of the hill, king of the hill. Now, all of these ways are ways in which we try to deal with sin. There's no doubt about it. There are ways we try to manage sin, our sin. There are ways that we try to manage sin so that it does not ruin our reputation and so that it does not destroy our positive affirmations. These are ways in which we try to diminish and minimize our wounded conscience as well. There are ways in which we try to convince ourselves that we are right and that we are whole. The problem with all of this is that none of it works, my friends. It does not work. In fact, the more that we try to forcefully manage our sin, and the more we try to forcefully produce peace within our hearts, and the more we try to acquire affirmation from others, well, the more we make things worse. It is true. The more we try to conceal sin and quiet our troubled conscience and acquire the applause of others, the more we typically entangle ourselves in the web of guilt. All of this can lead to depression. It can lead to depression and hopelessness. It can lead to the point that we may think like this: what does God care about me? God must be angry with me. What can I do? Can I ever know acceptance? Can I ever have peace? Can I ever be affirmed? Is there any help for me? Dear friends, do not, I repeat, Do not let such thoughts sink too deeply into your heart and mind, for there is another way. In this morning's gospel reading, we heard Jesus speaking to a paralytic man saying this, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. In other words, cheer up. Do not look at your illness. Do not look to your hopelessness. Do not look to your circumstances, but look away from yourself and hear the good news. Your sins are forgiven. Dear friends, the devil and your sinful nature, they try to make you look elsewhere for affirmation, and they tempt you to manage your sin on your own. However, hear this today. There is another way. What Jesus Christ said to the paralytic man in our gospel reading, he is saying to you and to me every day in our baptisms, every week in holy absolution, and every week in public preaching, take heart, dear child, your sins are forgiven. They are forgiven. What does this mean? It means this. If you are plagued by your sin, do not try and manage these sins. If you are seeking acceptance and affirmation, do not try to force it with other people who are here one generation and gone the next. No, my friends, this way of thinking may seem right, but it is the way of destruction. It is the way of deception. It is the way of the pits of hell. But rather, go and be baptized if you are not already. Hear God's word in holy absolution, which says to you, your sins are forgiven. Receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. It is only in your baptism. It is only in God's word. It is only in the sacrament of the altar that you find complete affirmation, complete acceptance, complete forgiveness and peace for your troubled conscience. It is only in the gospel that your sins are 100% absolved. That is, forgiven. Today, we must know that when the world around us frantically goes around looking for acceptance and affirmation, and when the world around us tries so eagerly to manage sin, you need not scramble. You need not scurry around. But rather, you can know that here in Christ's church that you possess forgiveness, life, and salvation completely. You do not need to scramble and look around, and you do not need to sit in some corner and wonder if God will forgive you of your sins. You also do not need to wait for an angel from heaven to come to you and say your sins are forgiven. But God drew near to you in your baptism, baptizing you. And he also draws near to you right now in this divine service to speak forgiveness into your ears in holy absolution. He draws near to you to proclaim the message of forgiveness through the mouth of a sinful pastor. He draws near to you to lay upon your tongue his body and his blood given and shed for you in the sacrament of the altar. Not only has the Lord proclaimed this message of forgiveness, life, and salvation to you in his church, the Lord has also placed this message of forgiveness in the mouths of every Christian, into your mouths, to comfort and pronounce to you God's grace for the sake of Christ's victory on the cross. It is placed in the mouths of parents to proclaim to their children. It is upon the mouths of children to proclaim to their aging parents. It is upon the mouths of friends to proclaim to other friends in need. It is upon the mouths of Christ's holy saints. That is you. Baptized saints, we are just like the paralytic man. For the more we try to fix ourselves, the more we end up in our own helpless anguish. However, like the poor, helpless man, our eyes and attention are taken away from ourselves today to hear the word of Jesus. Take heart. Do not be discouraged. Your sins are forgiven. Dear baptized saints, hear now and hear it again, the word of Jesus. Words of assurance. words of acceptance, words of affirmation, words of forgiveness, life, and salvation, words for you. These very words are this: take heart. You, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.